Well, I have a story to tell you today since I can't walk around and preach. It's a story about a man and his fall. A man and his fall and its impact on his family. You know how a fall can really mess you up? Great inconvenience, great limitations, great changes in your whole life. An amazing thing about falls is that you can't rewind life. If only you at that moment could just back up 10 seconds and relive that fall, you wouldn't fall. You wouldn't step in that place. If only you could rewind life, but you can't. But I want to tell you today about a man and his fall and his family, and it's not me. And I'm going to slip in and out of this other character, if you allow me today. It's a character who you already know. His name is Dave. If he's from Norway, his last name would be Jessison. And if he was from the Netherlands, his name would be Van Bethlehem. Most people just call him David. Today, David would like to talk to you. Because if David were here today and could tell you his story, he'd say what a story it was. You know, I wasn't much of a son. My dad didn't think much of me. All the other boys got to stay home, but I had to go out and take care of the sheep. I was the runt of the family, the little kid. But I'll tell you what I learned as a shepherd. As I took care of all those sheep, I learned to trust my God. And one day I wrote this little poem. It went like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. One night I was laying there on the hillside with all the sheep laying down, and I looked at all the stars, and I said this, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters His speech, and night unto night reveals His goodness. I also wrote this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You've set Your glory above the heavens. And as I looked at all those stars and the moon and the things that God had set in order, I said, what is man? You're mindful of him. Or the Son of Man that You would visit him. Many times as a shepherd, things were not going so well. And I learned to trust my God. And one day I wrote these words, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I learned a lot as the rejected son taking care of sheep. I learned to trust the Heavenly Father, who was very, very great. And my heart began to be like his heart. People began to say he has a heart like God's. One day my dad sent me to take care of my brothers who were fighting as soldiers. And when I got to the battlefield, there was this big guy named Goliath. And everybody was afraid of him. And it made me mad. It made me mad that he could say those things about my God. And I went down there with five little stones and I took care of Goliath. And I became quite a soldier. Eventually, I took Jerusalem. Nobody had ever taken Jerusalem. I took Jerusalem. I led an army of 250,000 men. And I established the borders of my nation, the nation of Israel, more than any other king. I wasn't even just a soldier. I was quite a statesman. I inherited a kingdom from Saul, the man who was always pursuing me. It was in shambles. There was not much to it. But when I left it 40 years later, it was called the golden era of the history of Israel. And I left that for my son Solomon. Its borders were greater. I had established commerce and agriculture. I had established the law and the courts and the worship of God where it was supposed to be. Oh, I was quite a soldier and I was quite a statesman. I was quite a son. I was quite a shepherd. But most people remember me because of my songs. I wrote 75 that you know of. And actually, there's more. But I didn't put my name on all of them. And you read them. They're Book of Psalms. Oh, a lot of people would say my life was quite a success. And it really was. You can read about it in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. You can read about it in the Psalms. You can read about it in 1 Chronicles. You know, I'm not here to tell you about the days of my success. I'm here to tell you that one day, just one day, I fell. And I've never been the same. Just one day, after all those great things, I committed adultery. And instead of running to God and confessing my sin and dealing with my sin, I tried to cover it up and pretend it didn't happen. When it was all done, I left a lady who was a lovely lady as an adulteress. Oh, I left a man who was an innocent soldier as a corpse. He died. And one of my generals, who was one of the best generals in all of Israel, I made him look like a fool in front of all of his men, just for me. And finally, God in His grace came to me and talked to me through a prophet by the name of Nathan and said, David, you're the man. I'm here to tell you today that God is good and He's gracious. And God was good enough to me to come look for me and convict me of my sin and tell me I was wrong and use Nathan to do that. I always thank Nathan for that. But I'm here to tell you today that the greatest blessing of my life is to realize my God forgave my sin. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord doesn't impute his iniquity, and he no longer has to walk around in guile. He no longer has to fake it. He no longer has to cover it up. I acknowledged my sin, and the Lord forgave me. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But I'm not really here today to talk to you about my fall or my forgiveness. It's amazing, all that I learned about my God, my Heavenly Father, somehow I didn't incorporate into my life as an earthly father. You think I would have, wouldn't you? You would think I'd treat my kids the way my Heavenly Father treated me, wouldn't you? But I'm here to tell you, I didn't. See, I'm a man who fell, and I was forgiven. But I'm here to tell you today about my family and its impact. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 13, 14, 15, all the way through chapter 18. At the end of it, you're going to hear me say, my son, oh Absalom, my son, as I hold his dead body in my hands and weep bitterly. Oh, there's a lot of kids in my family. You can read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Only had one daughter, though. A lot of sons from different wives, and they kept multiplying. But if you'd read in 2 Samuel chapter 13, you'd come upon a passage that reveals what happens to a fallen man and the impact on his family. Oh, I know you've read it all before. Let me tell you, I had a very lovely daughter. Her name was Tamar. She was a stunning young lady in every way. In moral beauty, and physical beauty, in every way. And she was my only daughter. And I had sons from different wives, and one of those sons by the name of Amnon, my oldest son, who I really respected and gave all kinds of special treatment, because he was my oldest son. One day he fell in love with his half-sister Tamar and became sick. Now, my son Amnon, I'm here to tell you, I didn't watch his friends very well. He had a bad friend. He was a crafty guy, Jonadab. I thought it'd be all right to have my son having friends who weren't good friends, but this proved to be not so good. Because Jonadab said to my son Amnon, he says, why are you sick? What's wrong? He says, I'm in love with Tamar. He says, well, let's figure out some way that you can get her. And so Jonadab suggested all kinds of evil until, well, my son Amnon had Tamar come to his room, locked the doors. When Tamar figured out what was going on, she says, oh, Amnon, my brother, do not do what you plan to do. Go talk to the king. He'll probably allow you to marry me. But he would not, and he forced himself upon Tamar. And that day, my daughter was devastated and violated. My only daughter. It was a devastating day for our home because Amnon, as soon as he had violated his sister Tamar, hated her. In fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. His hate was so intense that he threw her out of the room and locked the door, never wanted to see her again, despised her and hated her, the one who had desired her and loved her. And how could not my whole house know that? That somehow I produced a family. And kids that would be involved in sin. I'm here to tell you today, when it comes to my family, I was not very good at preventing sin in their life. I was a part of that happen. You see, Amnon came to me. I was the one who told him to go to his sister. I was the one who gave all the authority. I never saw it coming. I was blind to the reality of what was going to happen, and I didn't protect my daughter. And I didn't protect my son from an evil companion who had all kinds of evil suggestions. And I didn't take care of my home very well. And I didn't prevent evil that day. And that day, evil entered my home. I had an oldest son who had raped his sister. And I was aware that even in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 18 and verse 29, that such an abomination is not even amongst the heathen. And if that abomination were to take place in the land of Israel, well, that person is immediately killed. A society cannot tolerate incest, rape. I'm here to tell you today that I wasn't very good at preventing sin. I was blind to so many things. Maybe I was just wrapped up in my job. Maybe I didn't know what was going on. I don't know. You have a lot of suggestions probably for me. I have no excuses for you. Other than to tell you, when it was all done, I had a daughter who was desolate, it says. As far as I know, she never recovered from that. She never was the beautiful young lady she was supposed to be. I had an oldest son who was a rapist. And he would never be the same either. But I'm here to tell you something else happened. Absalom, that's Tamar's real brother, and Absalom and Amnon are half-brothers. Absalom saw what happened to his sister, and he got mad. He hated Amnon. Oh, I'm here to tell you today, I wasn't very good at preventing sin in my family. The one who fell in sin should have been very sensitive to sin. I knew what it had done to me. Why did I not care about my kids? I knew how sin had impacted my life. Why did I not make sure that I had prevented it in the lives of my daughter, my son, and my other son? Because I did not prevent sin. Tamar, my daughter, was violated by her brother. And here's what I learned. Make sure you train up your child in the way that he should go. Make sure you train your child in righteousness. Because if you do not prevent sin, you will do what I do. You can read about it in 2 Samuel 13. I wept bitterly the day I heard of that rape of my daughter. I tore my clothes and I fell on my face and I wept bitterly. I can tell you this, I learned you better monitor the friends of your kids. Because evil companions corrupt good habits. I'm here to tell you today that I did not curb the appetites for sin in the lives of my kids. I'm here today to tell you I didn't warn them of the consequences of sin. I'm just here today to tell you I wasn't very good at preventing sin in the lives of my kids. And my daughter wept bitterly. My oldest son hated his own sister. My third son, Absalom, hated his own brother, Amnon. And I wept bitterly. But I'm not only here to tell you today that I was not very good at preventing sin. Because, you know, there's going to be sin in every home. You can't really prevent it always. All of us are going to sin. Sometimes they're really bad and it shouldn't happen, but we're all going to have to deal with sin. It was not just that I couldn't prevent sin, I couldn't process sin. I didn't know how to handle it now that there was sin in my home. And I didn't do very well. If you're going to read in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and down in verse 21, you know what happened? I got angry. If you went back a few verses, you recognize that Tamar, my daughter, came out of that room and she put ashes on her head and wore sackcloth and she was trying to tell everybody, I need comfort. I need somebody to help me recover from what has just happened to me. And when she came out and told everybody she needed some help, her father was not there to help her. Now, her brother Absalom tried to do that, but it should have been me. I should have seen that Absalom, her brother, the one who now hated Amnon, I should have seen that he hated. I should have seen, I better do something about this. I better do something about my son Absalom because he's going to run off with vengeance in his mind. Somehow I have to help him deal with the reality that his sister had been violated. I better help him, but I did not. And I should have dealt with Amnon. I got angry, but I did nothing. I knew what the law said, Leviticus 18:29. An abomination like this in the land of Israel, they are removed. They're removed from the presence of the people. Our society cannot tolerate that, but I didn't remove them. I let them live in my house. I wasn't very good at processing or dealing with sin once it had happened. And the result was this. Tamar, my daughter, continued to be hurt, never did recover. Amnon continued to live his evil ways as if everything was fine. And Absalom kept this in his mind. He said, I will get even. You know, bitterness, revenge, pretty strong things in the lives of people. And even though I had almost forgotten about the situation, thought it was all past, oh, Absalom didn't forget. 2 years later, one day, he said to me, hey, Dad, I'm going to go shear my sheep. You want to go with me? And I said, no, I'm kind of busy. He knew that, by the way. He set me up for this one. He said, well, can Amnon go with me? And I said, sure, why not? I had forgotten about his bitterness, his anger, his wrath. And that day, Absalom took Amnon out to shear the sheep, and he killed him. See, I wasn't very good at preventing sin, and I wasn't very good at processing sin. I didn't help my daughter or either of my sons through the ramifications of sin in my house. And do you know what happened? Not only did I weep bitterly when they told me that Tamar, my daughter, had been raped, when they told me the news that Amnon, my son, had been killed, I fell on my face and I wept bitterly. I had lost my number one son because I had not processed sin very well. I had not dealt with it. I had not helped them. Because I did not process sin very well, my oldest son, Amnon, was killed by his own brother, Absalom. I realized I had not taught my kids, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I had not taught my kids, forgive one another. I had not taught my kids to confess their sins to one another and deal with it and get it over with and move on and leave it behind you. And I had allowed all three of my kids to continue in their state because I didn't know how to process sin. I lived in my own little world and said, I hope it all settles out somehow. Well, you can tell, it really did impact my family. The fall that I had should have taught me all these things. Sin is bad. Prevent it. Sin can be dealt with. Deal with it right now. Get it over with. Move on. But I wasn't good at preventing it, and I wasn't good at processing it. But I want to tell you one last thing. I wasn't very good at pardoning sin. You see, when Absalom killed his brother Amnon, I threw him out. I had not thrown Amnon out when he had raped his sister, but when Absalom killed his brother, he knew he was in trouble with me. Amnon was my special boy. He was number one. He was going to be the next king, or so I had thought. And Absalom knew it, and you know who he ran to? He ran to his mother's father. He ran to his maternal grandfather because he needed somebody to help him through the sin that he had just committed. You see, he had been bitter in a natural way because his sister had been raped, but no one had helped him through that bitterness and no one had helped him to deal with forgiveness. And therefore, he had done what had come natural after 2 years of boiling. He had killed his own brother and now he's not able to come home to his dad. It was so bad that one of my generals realized that I had kind of forgot about it all. But Absalom wanted to come home to be with his dad. Absalom wanted to resolve this and be reconciled to his dad. And Joab realized that I wasn't even thinking that way. So he sent a lady into my office one day. And she told me the story about the reality that she had had two sons. And in the process of their life, they had fought each other and one had killed the other. And now the avengers were coming to kill her other son. And she said, I know that the law says that you have to avenge the blood of your brother, but wouldn't there be some way that my son who had killed his brother could be pardoned? Wouldn't there be some way that my son who deserves to die could be set free? I didn't realize she was talking about me. Just like Nathan telling me that story that one day, and I thought it was about a guy who had one sheep. And then I all of a sudden realized it was all about me. So this story suddenly caught me by surprise. When she finally said to me, after I said, don't worry about your son, I will protect him from the avenger. I will make sure that he can be pardoned. I will make sure that he can continue to live even though he deserves to die. I will make sure of that. She looked at me and said, David, why would you do that for me when you won't even do that for your son, Absalom? Why would you make a way that my son could be pardoned and forgiven and reconciled and restored to his family relationship when you will not make a way that your son, Absalom, can be pardoned and reconciled and forgiven and restored to your home? Oh, you might think that story got to me. But you know what the reality is? I realized it kind of convicted me. I said, he can come home, but I don't ever want to see his face. And Absalom came home, but he never saw my face. And I never saw his face. You see, for me, reconciliation is you can go to your bedroom and stay there. It was not that we can be restored and we can talk. And for 3 years, we lived in a house where he never saw my face and I never saw his face. I wasn't very good at pardoning. I wasn't very good at reconciliation. I wasn't very good at making a way of restoring. In fact, Absalom, my son, was so distraught over this that he asked to meet with me so that we could settle it. And he said, if I have done wrong, then you execute me. But if there is some way that we can be reconciled, let's do it today. I want this behind me. Either let me be reconciled or kill me. He wanted to be my son. And you know what I said? You will never see my face. And Absalom said, well, there's got to be some way. So my son, he's a pretty crafty guy, not always a good guy. He one day sent his men out and burned the barley crop with one of my friends so that it would get my attention and I would demand that he come and explain it just so he could be in my presence. And he came. And that day, I wept bitterly because for 3 years I recognized I had not pardoned very well. I had not restored my son when he wanted it so desperately. I had banished him. I had kicked him out. And I had said, I don't ever want to see your face. Well, if you read the end of chapter 14 of 2 Samuel, you'd find out, finally, I got it. And the last words are these, and I kissed my son. Well, I'm here to tell you today, my fall should have really changed my life, but it didn't. In the sense of making me more sensitive to sin, more able to deal with sin, and more forgiving the sins of others. The truth is, I was not very good at preventing sin. I wasn't very good at processing sin. And I wasn't very good at pardoning sin. For 5 years, my house was a mess. For 5 years, I lived without peace, harmony, reconciliation, forgiveness, restoration. I think they would have called my house a dysfunctional home. But I'm just here to tell you one last thing. The wisest statement that was said to me in this whole process came from that lady. You remember? Job sent the lady to me. Could I read it for you today in 2 Samuel chapter 14? And it goes like this, verse 13. The woman said, why then have you schemed such a thing against the people of God? For the king speaks this thing as one who is guilty, in that the king does not bring his banished one home. For he will surely die and become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up. Yet God does not take away a life. He devises a means so that his banished ones are never expelled from him. I'm here to tell you today, the greatest truth I learned in all of that is my Heavenly Father was not like me. My Heavenly Father knows that we sin. Sometimes we do dastardly deeds, the worst of the worst. Sometimes it's adultery. Sometimes it's rape. Sometimes it's murder. Sometimes it's all three. And my God makes a way for the banished to be reconciled to Him. And that's why I wrote this little poem. And it goes like this. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose iniquities are not imputed to him, and he no longer has to live in guile. I'm here to tell you the greatest truth about our God is that he forgives sin. And I lost a son, had a violated daughter, and lived 5 years without my other son because I didn't learn that truth. Oh, the story I have to tell you is about a man who had a fall. And he had a family. And he didn't learn from his fall what he should be doing with his family. Oh, by the way, could I ask you a question? How are you doing? You see, I didn't learn very much from my fall. But did you learn from my fall? You realize the seriousness of sin? Prevent it. Do everything you can to prevent sin in your home. You realize it's still going to happen, but process it. Deal with those who have been hurt. Deal with those who have bitterness. Deal with those who are wrong, but deal with it. And make sure you get to the point where you pardon and are reconciled. How are you doing in your home? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the life of David, who to us is a great example in both his strengths and his weaknesses. And may we learn. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.